We're here, we're talking entrepreneurship, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs, and you're not going to hear enough of this month. I'm going to pound it to the end of time. We're being hosted all month by our friends at The Social Scene. And that's where our offices, their offices are. That's where we are. Please visit socialscene.me to see how they're bringing people together and see your future now, your social life now, because they are changing the way we all socialize. And before I announce our next guest, again, you know, flanking me to my left and protecting me is my good friend and attorney and reporter, Peter Morrison from the law firm of Cohn, Rasnick, Morrison & Plout.
Thanks, Jeff. It's always great to be here.
Right. Have I mentioned to you recently that John Plout lost tennis to me last week?
You keep mentioning it over and over to the point where I'm getting numb from it.
Don't forget to tell John I mention it in every episode.
I will. But our next guest is not going to make us numb.
No.
Our next guest is somebody I've known longer than I've known you.
That's obvious when you look at the three of us.
Yeah, that's true.
Ed Rabinowitz of Shadray Rabinowitz. And we're going to talk about the anti-slap law,
which I think
Peter was doing to me by shutting me up.
Yeah, but before we do that, I'm going to introduce Ed.
Oh, because you have a special
introduction. I have a special introduction.
I didn't know about this.
Ed is somebody who I first met when I got sued, and he represented me. And, you know, Ed is everything you want in a prototypical lawyer. And what we're going to talk about today is preparation, in a sense. But Ed is calm and smart and always prepared. And
thank you.
One of the best lawyers I know.
I've had a lot of private discussions with Peter Morrison over the last 30 years about lawyers behind the scenes and their preparation, the way they do things. And hearing Peter compliment you like that, I don't want to talk anymore. It's your show. Go for it.
Well, thank you. That's very that's very nice words from Peter. What I thought today I'd do is Peter and I always have these very interesting discussions, and they're wide-ranging discussions about both law and the other issues of the day. But I thought I'd talk about some cutting-edge law, which Peter's always interested in. Most people know that there are statutes out there where the consumer is protected, and there are also civil rights statutes. But a lot of people don't know that there's a statute that protects people who give input to the government on various and sundry topics. And it's not just local zoning commissioner, but it's any kind of governmental agency that you give input to. And then somebody decides they didn't like what you did, and they bring suit against you. This area of the law is called a slap statute, and rather than dealing with abuse of children or some woman who decides you are too aggressive on a date, it's actually an acronym, Strategic Lawsuit Against Public Participation is what they use to describe the lawsuits, and the statute is an anti-slap statute.
So these are cases where somebody brings a lawsuit to stop you from doing something related to a public agency.
Yeah, it's actually after the fact. You can have very disparate fact situations, but the statute applies. And let me just give you a brief description of what the statute protects. It protects the party's exercise of the right to petition. It's any oral or written statement made or submitted to a legislative, executive, or judicial body or any other governmental proceeding. And it's for anything that's under consideration or review by the legislative, executive, or judicial body or any governmental proceeding reasonably likely to encourage consideration or review of an issue. It's very broad, including anything protected by the First Amendment. So there are two decisions that have come down within the last month. And they're very disparate fact situations. One was a local election whereby somebody was opposed to an incumbent who was running in a local governmental position, and they got into some nice arguments, as the Republicans have recently, and it escalated. And the incumbent went to court claiming that they were being harassed and seeking an injunction against harassment against this person who was unhappy with their functions in the local government structure. And the person who was sued, who was the subject, rather, of the injunction, which was later denied by the district court, brought suit against the incumbent selectman, I think it was a selectman, claiming that it was basically a malicious prosecution to try and shut him up. The other case, that first case, by the way,
was... So what happened in that case?
For what happened. And that was a Supreme Judicial Court case. For your listeners who may not know, there's a dual level of appellate courts in Massachusetts. There's the appeals court, which handles most of the appeals, and then above that is the Supreme Judicial Court. So this first case on the political infighting was a decision by the Supreme Judicial Court, or what we call the SJC. The second decision, which seems to be very different, was a hospital which had been accused of having neglected the care and treatment of kids, of young adolescents in a psychiatric unit, either neglected or who were abused. And there was regulatory investigation by the Department of Mental Health, Department of Public Health, and Department of Children and Families. And in the course of that, the hospital hired a law firm to do an investigation. The law firm made a report, ostensibly that was supposed to be submitted to the governmental authorities. And after the report came out, the hospital administrator, the president of the hospital, issued a statement to the Globe saying basically that they did the investigation, they found people, specifically the personnel who worked in those units, not to have performed adequately, and they fired them. In addition to that...
So this is, they fired them based on the report?
Allegedly based on the report.
At least in part.
In the report, right, which said clean house.
Okay.
This, and in addition to that, the president then sent out an internal memoranda to other personnel at the hospital describing what had happened and the fact that... people had not lived up to their responsibilities for their jobs at the hospital, and they'd been terminated. Nine nurses who had been terminated brought suit for defamation. The report clearly didn't show that none of the nurses had been involved in any wrongful conduct. In fact, there was only one incident that had been actually verified of abuse or neglect. And the one person who was involved in that was not one of the nurses, but nevertheless, all of them had been fired.
So these nine nurses were fired without any recommendation within the report that they be fired?
No. The report said clean house. It
said clean house, but it didn't allege any wrongdoing on their
part.
Right.
It did not allege that these specific people had done anything wrong or been neglectful. The thing that both of these suits had in common was the SLAPP statute. The SLAPP statute says that when somebody participates in that oral or written submissions or statements to a governmental body, either legislative, executive, or judicial, then if you want to sue them for that conduct, all they have to show is that they're being sued for that participatory conduct. The burden then goes to the person who brought the suit to show that, in fact, that participatory conduct was totally lacking in any factual basis and was lacking in legal basis to have brought it, and that the person who's now brought the suit was damaged by that conduct. Now, the statutes originally arose because what was happening is developers were suing people who appeared at local zoning hearings in opposition to the developer's project. And the developers were intimidating all these people not to
By bringing lawsuits.
Right. The developer would then bring a lawsuit against the people who showed up at these zoning hearings, claiming they interfered with their advantageous, financial position. And so there were enough of these that, in fact, legislatures in most of the states passed these anti-SLAPP statutes. In Massachusetts, it's broader than simply that you offered participation to the governmental authority about a matter of public interest. It includes anything under consideration. So therefore, you'll have cases, for instance, where a girl or a woman goes to court and seeks a restraining order against the boyfriend. The restraining order isn't granted. The boyfriend sues her, and she moves to dismiss the case under the SLAPP statute. And in fact, there have been several of those cases. And the broad gamut of any kind of input to governmental authorities, as you might imagine, will come within the auspices of this statute if you're sued. So this is important also for employers to realize exactly what they can or should or shouldn't do when disciplining people internally. The interesting thing about this hospital case is it was an appeals court decision. And what they found and what they ruled is that because the hospital was under scrutiny by the regulatory body in Massachusetts, that the report was certainly come within the auspices of the statute. So the lawyers who did the report were found to be not liable. And the hospital was allowed, because it was basically quoting what was in the newspaper, what was in the report to the newspaper, was also found to be immune because of what it said. Part of it, the decision of the court, also encompassed the fact that it was in response to other information that the nurses had given to the Globe. So the rationale of the case appears to say that as long as what you're disseminating to the public, or to a newspaper for that matter, is included in what you've submitted to the agency, or in fact what you intend the information to go to that agency. And the decision says it's likely that the agency would have seen the Globe article, the state agency, and therefore it was protected. It was protected conduct under the statute.
So did they allow the hospital to recover attorney's fees? Doesn't the SLAPP statute provide for that?
Exactly. And that's the other teeth in this, is not only it protects your conduct, but if you're sued and the court finds that you are sued solely for your participatory conduct, and that it was it was not shown by the plaintiff, and the burden is on the person who brings the suit to show that it was totally frivolous in effect. If they don't show it was totally frivolous, your participatory conduct, then you get your attorney's fees in defending the action. And the statute cuts the lawsuit short. When you're sued and you want to raise the SLAPP statute, you bring a motion to dismiss. Discovery, which is an expensive process in the litigation, stops automatically. And it's given priority under the statute for hearing by the court. Not only that, but in fact, if the motion to dismiss is allowed, or if it's denied, you get to immediately appeal that decision to the appellate court, which is a very unusual situation because it's considered an interlocutory order. Ordinarily in litigation, if you're sued and the motion to dismiss is not allowed,
I think of it as a fair play law you're talking about.
Exactly.
You're creating fair play.
That's a great way to describe it.
Yeah, you know, I'm just listening, as you see. I haven't said a word for the whole interview, and it just sounds like what you're saying is they've balanced the law by creating a fair play element to it.
Right. Yeah. So developers can't pummel people who want to, you know, testify by bringing a lawsuit, which is very expensive, and in domestic relations cases, the person who's maybe abusive can't bring a lawsuit to shut it down. Very interesting law.
Well, Ed, great story. Complicated at some level for, I think, a layperson, but I finally got it, and it sounds like a great law. If somebody wants to find you at Shadray Rabinowitz, how would they do that?
They can come in. No, just kidding.
That was good.
That's the old-fashioned way.
They can call 617-523-3333. You need an easy number if your name's Rabinowitz. We're downtown Boston, 31 State Street, or you can reach me on the email at erabinowitz@shadrablaw.com, shadrablaw.com.
Well, the best part of that interview for me, it goes against those detractors of mine who say I don't listen. Clearly, at the end, I showed I was listening.
Well, I think you're input was valuable.
Whatever those detractors are, they should disappear. That's never been an issue.
I always quote you on that, Peter. Believe me, I defend myself by quoting you.
Good.
What a pleasure having Peter Morrison as my co-host. And it was the color commentator on that interview. And Ed, thanks for coming in. I hope you come again. If you're about fair play, we're about playing you on our radio show.
Well, I appreciate that. And if you play me fairly, then that's fine.
Good. And don't forget, you're coming. These interviews are live from the social scene. And take the time to type in socialscene.me to see how they're bringing people together one event at a time. My name is Jeffrey Davis. We're going to take a break. This is Radio Entrepreneurs.